The time is 6 o'clock. This is Radio Ghana, the news presented by Mercy Sua. Organized labor gives government 1 week to withdraw energy sector levies and reduce utility tariffs. Youth Employment Agency to recruit 20,000 interns as community health workers. BNI investigates 135 teachers with fake certificates. Fire destroys about 95 houses in Australia, and Gabonese striker Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang crowned 2015 African Footballer of the Year. Organized labor has decried the recent spate of increases in utilities, petroleum products, and levies on incomes in the country. It expresses disappointment at the manner in which Parliament went about the promulgation of the Energy Sector Levies Act 2015, Act 899. In an interview with Radio Ghana, the Secretary General of the TUC, Kofi Asamoah, said organized labor rejects the increases and demands that government reduces utility tariffs and withdraw the Energy Sector Levies Act 2015, Act 899, with immediate effect. It gives government up to Wednesday, the 13th of this month, to meet its demands, or it would unleash series of nationwide strikes. He spoke to Ibrahim Kwating.
We met government. Yes, we agreed to have another meeting on Tuesday. The delegation that went for the meeting gave a feedback to organize labor. The meeting unanimously agreed to take the measures that we have indicated in the statement.
Are we to believe that you will not honor the planned meeting following your latest ultimatum?
No, we would. We would attend the meeting. We agreed to have the meeting. And that notwithstanding, we stated this position. We have up to the 13th of January to look at the demands. And we are just restating. So this were the demands we exactly made at the meeting that day. And indeed, when organized labor met, there was clear frustration and anger, and people were really so hard on point that we unanimously agreed to have this measure.
Why a weak ultimatum? Are you not over-pushing government to the wall?
No, we are not. We are not. Because from the discussions that went on, it was very clear that we were not satisfied. The moment we finished the meeting, that we were not satisfied with what happened. Yes, we are going to meet. If the demands are met, fair enough. Otherwise, I mean, we are resolved to go into the path that has made it clear in the statement.
Was organized labor not aware of the promulgation of the energy sector levy and its, let me say, passage all along?
No, as far as we are concerned, it was rushed to Parliament just before Christmas. We were not aware. If even you listen to some of the MPs, the impression created was not what was really stated. It was done under certificate of urgency, and indeed, we do not agree. That's why we expressed our disappointment at how the law was passed and then the effects it has had on the ordinary Guardian.
So others would argue that why don't you take your fight to Parliament, because they eventually promulgated the
yes,
levy.
We are really not happy with what happened in Parliament, and indeed we are laying the problem before government and the legislature. But we know that ultimately government make a withdrawal. Government and Parliament didn't do justice to Ghanaians.
So what happens after 1 week? 13th
well, we have outlined the activities. I don't know whether we have a roadmap which has been outlined and also made public. We've notified the police and other state bodies of our intended nationwide actions. We'll be having a press conference on the 14th. We'll have demonstrations on 19th and 20th January throughout the whole country. And then if that one does not end, we'll go ahead with other planned activities that are laid up.
You heard Secretary General of the TEC, Kofi Asamoah. The Youth Employment Agency, YEA, in an effort to create jobs, will from next month recruit 20,000 people to serve as community health workers. This will strengthen Ghana's community-based health planning and services for primary health care delivery. The program will be implemented in collaboration with Ghana Health Service, World Vision International Ghana, and the 1 million Community Health Workers Campaign, an international NGO. We bring you more in this report.
The program will recruit community health workers who will fill the unemployment gap while promoting universal health coverage, especially for rural and deprived communities. Speaking at the launch of the Community Health Workers Module in Accra, Minister of Employment and Labour Relations, Haruna Idrisu, said the program will not encounter financial challenges since it will be funded by the GET Fund and the Communications Tax service tax as stipulated in the YEA Act 2015. Mr. Idrisi said the decision to collaborate with agencies as World Vision, Ghana Health Service and the 1 million community health campaign is to ensure that it is managed and implemented by credible institutions. He said the other modules will be rolled out in the course of the year, and it will be implemented in collaboration with state and other credible institutions to ensure that recruits or beneficiaries get the needed employment skills after their 2 years of working under the schemes. The Minister of Health, Alex Segbefia, said Ghana made progress under the Millennium Development Goals, hence the need to keep it rolling out models which would sustain the successes chalked up. He said the new model will help Ghanaians, especially rural dwellers, who are most of the time in need of primary health care.
That was a news desk report. 11 more teachers who submitted fake certificates to facilitate their engagement as teachers are being investigated by the Bureau of National Investigations. This brings to 135 teachers believed to be operating with fake certificates in different parts of the country who are being investigated by the BNI. The move is part of efforts by the Ghana Education Service to sanitize the educational system to ensure that only those with genuine certificates are maintained. As part of the exercise, the regional directors of education have been tasked to forward verification reports on all teachers in both basic and second cycle institutions under their jurisdiction. Head of Public Relations at GES, Reverend Jonathan Betty, said the names of 11 out of the number from the Gomoa East District of the Central Region have been handed over to the BNI. He said currently the BNI is inviting the affected teachers for interrogation. Reverend Betty said most of them have abandoned the classroom when they realized that the GES was carrying out the verification exercise, and was confident that with the assistance of regional directors of education and the BNI, such individuals would be fished out. President John Mahama has announced the expected delivery of about 6,000 combined harvesters early this year to be distributed to rice farmers to increase production. He, however, challenged rice farmers to improve the quality of the product to attract more patronage. President Mahama was addressing some rice farmers at Akusi after spending time on the farm to mark his third anniversary as president. A report by Pascaline Adadevo.
President Mahama drove a tractor to harvest rice on few acres of farmlands. The farmers then took him through the processes. They had some concerns that had to do with high interest rates on loans and issues of input subsidy. Government, in a bid to increase rice production, has developed a number of interventions to ensure self-sufficiency in quality rice seed production by 2018. Currently, the country imports about $300 million of rice annually. President Mahama challenged rice farmers to improve on the quality of rice produced because Ghanaians have developed a taste for good rice. Currently, only 60% of rice produced is consumed here. It is the hope of President Mahama that by 2018, local consumption of rice will increase to 100%. The president encouraged young people to see agriculture as a business rather than a way of life. President Mahama also announced that government is going to work on fertilizer subsidies early enough to cushion the farmers.
This country to be the richest people, and that's how it should be. The farmers of this country must be the richest people, because agriculture is a business. It's no longer the whole and total peasant farmers we used to have. And the thing is, a scientific, if you put in the right inputs, you will harvest the right harvest that you are looking for. Government is going to take a loan from China to expand the irrigation field by 10,000 hectares. There's been a problem with that loan, so we're transferring it to the Ghana Infrastructure Investment Fund. When we do the additional 10,000 hectares,
President Mahama, in that report by Pascaline Adadevo. The chairman of the Finance Committee of Parliament, James Asedzi, has described President Mahama's 3 years in power as a success. According to Mr. Afetzi, a well-detailed analysis into President Mahama's administration shows that he has done his best and he's worth celebrating. Speaking on Radio Ghana's Behind the News, Mr. Afetzi said, the president has brought change in the area of water, infrastructure, education, and other sectors of the economy. He spoke to Jonathan Thompson.
As a president for 3 years, I will rate Mr. President that he has done the best as one person who has been in the helm of affairs to manage the economy of Ghana, to provide need for the people of this country. So he has done his best. What we should be using to mark his performance is the manifesto of NDC for 2012 when the campaign was going on. He told the Ghanaians in the manifesto that he is going to do ABCD. Which of those has he been able to achieve? Is he on course in achieving all of them? If not, or yes, what have been the factors for the success? Or if not, what have been the factors for not being able to achieve those results? That is the way I am going to look at it. But I can say that the president, as a human being, who is providing the needs of Ghanaians and working at the economy of Ghana, I cannot say that he has done badly. He has done his best, he has done well.
Critics are saying the economy has been mismanaged under his watch.
It depends on how you are looking at that mismanagement or not under his watch. So if we look at the specific. Yes, when we talk about educational infrastructure, the president has done well. He promised building 200 community day schools. He's on course so far. I think that contract has been awarded for 123 thereabouts, which is a big plus that we hope that he'll be able to finish the 200 by the close of the year or if not close to that number. He will also talk about the specific in terms of the road sector. A number of major roads have been constructed. A number of interchanges have been done, have been constructed, notably among them is a circle overpass is a major one which is going on there. We all can also talk about the Kasua one which is also going to be done. We can talk about the water infrastructure. A number of water community have been given Kumewu and the rest have also been connected to the water. So if you take about the specific, you will see that those are coming up.
James Avegi is chairman of the Finance Committee of Parliament. Member of the Finance Committee of Parliament Kweku Kwatin says government has been engaging in wasteful expenditure and overtaxing the citizens. Speaking on Behind the News, Mr. Kwatin said the fact that the country's economy has slowed down sums up the performance of President Mahama's three-year administration. He said the dwindling budgetary allocations to the various sectors of the economy further shows how poorly the government has done so far.
We have pretended over a wide unprecedented gap between our inflows and our expenditures. And many have analyzed that. I think now we know where the problem came from. So a large part of his administration has been seeking to deal with this gap. It is a gap we have still not fully been able to resolve. When there's no money, everything else gets affected. The way to deal with it would be one, to correct the waste and to do the kind of needed reform that would lower government expenditure. Government has been very unsuccessful in that regard, in spite of the fact that this is the only administration to benefit from oil money. Oil came on stream in 2011. It is a government that has collected more taxes per GDP over the period he has been in office than any other over a similar period. So
Kweku Kwatin is a member of the Finance Committee of Parliament. A law and business lecturer at the University of Ghana, Lord Mensah, did not indicate whether President Mahama performed badly or not. He challenged government to use money, especially that borrowed, judiciously. According to Dr. Mensah, Ghana has reached a middle-income status, hence resources in the form of loans and grants must be put to good use. He spoke to Jonathan Thompson on Behind the News.
Being a middle income does not that it's not that you should enjoy some things that will come. Now, because if you look at the concessionary loans that are supposed to be coming from our donor partners, you realize that some people are more in need of those monies than you do. So you're going to get more cut as far as these donations are concerned. Now, suffice to say that when you are going to borrow, okay, when it comes to projects that we're supposed to do in this country, now you're going to borrow on the market, but then in the end, the money that you borrow that comes into your bosom, what do you do with it? You understand? Now, you're going to borrow, and then you come, and in the end, you're going to back to the investor again, the one who financed your earlier project, and you package yourself saying that you're coming to borrow to finance the previous loan, okay?
Now, as a country, we face that problem of, you know, borrowing on a short-term basis because the Eurobond market, for some years, it's recently that for the last Eurobond that we float, we had 15 years. But then it's more or less, it has been 7 years maximum. And 7 years, you're using it for a project that most you see the cash flows of those projects in about 20 years. So you're going to face something we call refinancing risk. Anytime you need to mature those debt that you borrowed, and because if you have 20 years project, the realization of the cash flows of those projects, now normally they are long term. 2 7-year, almost 3 of the 7 years going in there. So you could go and borrow to finance, you go and borrow to finance. But then you package yourself and show the investor that this is me. I'm coming to borrow to finance my old debt, okay, and use some of the proceeds to continue with the old project.
Dr. Lord Mensa is a law and business lecturer at the University of Ghana. The news comes to you from Radio Ghana, Accra. The major stories. Organized labor gives government 1 week to withdraw energy sector levies and reduce utility tariffs. Youth Employment Agency to recruit 20,000 interns as community health workers. BNI investigates 135 teachers with 6 certificates. Fire destroys about 95 houses in Australia, and Gabonese striker Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang crowned 2015 African Footballer of the Year. Please stay with us. Welcome back. The Vice President Kwesi Mensah-Arthur has stressed the need for Ghanaians to peacefully coexist, no matter the political or religious difference. He said deep animosity and intolerance only disintegrates society and negates progress. The Vice President charged religious bodies to intensify education on tolerance and peaceful coexistence among the youth, especially as the nation approaches the general election. Mr. Mensah-Arthur said this at the 84th Annual National Convention of the Ahmadiyya Muslim Mission at Pomadzi in the Central Region. Here's a report by Antoinette Abba.
The annual convention of the Ahmadiyya Muslim Mission is to enable Ahmadis to personally experience religious benefits and enhance their knowledge in the Quran. The gathering brought together thousands of Ahmadi faithful from all over the country. The Vice President, Kwesi Mensah-Arthur, said love for country must be paramount. All groups must come together to fight any misguided group that wants to create conflict in the country.
And like many developing countries, Ghana continues the process of creating a nation with people from different ethnic and religious backgrounds. Ghana has been successful in welding the diverse groups together and has avoided the worst examples of intolerance. May we continue to tolerate each other. However, we need to do more, especially in the creation of the conditions for balanced development, which requires greater citizen participation and a better appreciation of our respective roles.
Vice President Mensah-Arthur said all people are creation of God. Therefore, Ghanaians must live in peace and unity and act in ways that encourage nation building and not in ways that have the potential to destabilize and threaten the security of the nation.
It is impossible for me to understand why one group will attack another group. A refusal to tolerate dissenting views, different views, create the consequence of people who want to wipe out them. Living in peace and togetherness is a duty each one of us owes to our Creator. And the teachings are also to lead us to the realization that we have a moral and spiritual obligation to act in ways that encourage nation building.
The Amian missionary in charge of the Ahmadiyya mission, Alhaji Mauvi Mohammed Ben Sali, called on politicians to cultivate the spirit of service, sacrifice, and come up with innovative programs that will help create a peaceful environment. He said as the country approaches election, the world is monitoring Ghana. He said the nature of hate speeches and violence that characterize internal party discourse must be nipped in the bud so that such bickering will not disrupt the peace the country is currently enjoying.
Religious sectarianism must never be introduced into the body politics of Ghana. It will be necessary that such preachers of such hate messages, as well as their political beneficiaries, regardless of their political clout, must be identified and brought to book before it is too late. We need to act here and now to tackle this violent extremism problem in all its dimensions, whether political, economic, social, or religious.
There were fraternal messages from the Emir of Nigeria and Germany, as well as the Seventh-day Adventist, United Church of Ghana, and Ghana Education Service. The three-day convention will be climaxed on Saturday.
Antoinette Abbas reports. The Tema District Council of Labour TDCL has asked the management of the Agricultural Development Bank to reinstate all interdicted and wrongfully dismissed workers and union leaders unconditionally. A statement signed by its chairman, Wilson Agana, said the council will be happy if the issue is resolved within the shortest possible time to avert industrial unrest. The statement said the dismissed ADB staff had not breached any of the bank's policies and procedures that should warrant their dismissal, adding that the action by the ADB chief executive and management is a ploy to cover up the unlawful activities. The statement said workers of ADB were only protecting the national asset, their job security, and the future for the unborn generation. It said the bank's chief executive and its management adopted unlawful measures, which included issuing queries to over 400 ADB employees, arbitrary interdictions, and the wrongful dismissal of 10 employees for the simple reason that the workers were protecting the banks from the initial public offer and the wrongful sale of the bank. Some wooden structures at Chinagbe, close to the Ashaiman market, have been razed down by fire. About 30 residents have been displaced following the fire. The Ashaiman District Officer Anthony Maoko Sene explained the situation to Radio Ghana in Tema.
So I asked my name and I called other tenders from Tema and then quickly, they quickly moved here and then we all combined to make sure we got the situation under control. When we got here, you've seen the structures, some are pulled down, they are on fire, and you see that these are wooden structures, so they spread very fast.
Mr. Sene could not give the cause of the fire but said investigations will be carried out to determine it. He said as part of the command's education drive, drivers in Ashaiman have been given stickers with detailed information of the surveys to create more awareness on fire prevention and safety.
We have put a very strong force behind our education. Last week before the Christmas, we were at the lorry park, the GPIT station. And when I took over, I got to read a lot of people around don't even have our numbers. That's the telephone numbers to have. So I came up with stickers to stick them behind the taxi for them to know so that they can quickly call us so that we'll be able to save some of the houses here. I think that's been the good work that we have done. You have seen where these wooden structures are. We could have stayed to the left, to the right, or any other side. I will not say it was this or that until the investigation is done.
Ashaiman District Fire Officer Maoko Sene. An appeals court judge, Justice Dennis Ejie, has commended the Judicial Council for initiating the system of thoroughly screening, selecting, and appointing new members to the bench. He said it's worth mentioning since the judiciary has in recent times been accused of corruption. Justice Ejie was speaking at the swearing-in of 13 circuit court judges and magistrates in Accra. He urged the new members of the bench to be good agents of change by dedicating their services to uplifting the image of the judiciary, a report by Yvonne Asari Ofe.
Comparing previous selection of judges by the Judicial Appointment Committee, Justice Dennis Ejie said the exercise by the Judicial Council to publish in the dailies for comments to enable Parliament to properly vet them is a plus for the judiciary. He said the participation of citizens in the appointment of judges and magistrates of all levels will help weed out people who lack integrity and therefore are not eligible to be appointed as judges and magistrates. He also advised the media to avoid exaggerating issues that have to do with the judiciary. The consequences, he said, have a serious negative effect on the image of the country among the Committee of Nations. 5 Circuit Court judges were sworn in. They are Mercy Adaikote, Malcolm Bedra, Priscilla Decro, Mary Nsenchire, and Bar Forsen. The 8 magistrates who were also sworn in were Joyce Boahin, Rita Edusa, Anthony Edukwedu, Evelyn Asamoa, Gloria Mensah Bonsu, Susanna Edufo, Agnes Opoku-Bani, and Esia Owusia Appiah. The Chief Justice, Mrs. Georgina Theodora Wood, congratulated the new judges and magistrates and urged them to work hard to restore the confidence of upright judges and magistrates whose spirit has been dampened as a result of the overgeneralized assault on the judiciary.
Yvonne Asariofe reporting. One of the 12 High Court judges implicated in the bribery expose by Anas Arimeyaw Anas, Justice Paul Derry, has withdrawn the contempt suit against an appeals court judge, Justice Gertrude Tokonu, at the Supreme Court. Last September, Justice Tokonu struck out a contempt suit filed by Justice Derry against Tiger IPI, Accra International Conference Center, Media Foundation for West Africa, and some media houses for their role in the public viewing of the video on the judiciary bribery scandal. According to Justice Derry, the sitting judge at the time, Justice Tokonu, had no jurisdiction to hear the suit, which was subsequently struck out. Here's a report by Beatrice Opong.
Justice Gertrude Tokonu, who was then sitting with an additional responsibility of a High Court judge, struck out the contempt suit against the respondents because the applicant failed to appear in court to argue out his case. The judge also held the view that at the time the video was being premiered at the conference